Blessed Father, we want to return to you with praises and honor for your blessings upon us, Lord, in the morning service. We thank you for your goodness to us, that we have a place of refuge, Lord, where the weary can run to. We thank you. Thank you for the washing of the water by the world. Lord, that you yourself are the author of life, the one that designed the program of salvation. You have chosen to bless us, your people, through the washing of the water by the world. You said in your word, sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. Lord, we thank you, for that is your program, Lord, in all generations. And we are grateful to be part of that program in our time. Lord, and the grace you have given us, Master, to recognize our position, that we are to sit under this word, that all greenness might be taken away from us. Lord, in preparation for your harvesting that is very, very imminent. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the purging and the cleansing. Thank you for the evil spirits that you've cast out. Lord, what you say in your word, he sent his word and he healed them. Thank you for the healing that you have done. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come this evening, Heavenly Father, to ask for our blessings. Lord Jesus, as we have said that you have your blessings inexhaustible, we have partaken of it in the morning. Our cups are not full yet. We desire, Lord, that you will make our cup to be overflowing this evening. Give us understanding and let us be able to have, Lord, the revelation of what you are passing across to us. Lord, the application of the same in our lives as individuals, Lord God Almighty, so that at the end of it, Lord God, we will see, Lord, your blessings in our lives and your name will be glorified. Thank you, Father. We ask that you take glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's read from Revelation. We don't have much time. Revelation chapter 21. As we wish to continue with the future hope, and then to get some things across here so that we will be moving forward. Revelation chapter 21 from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. In the morning, I was trying to start this part in the Sunday school.
because at the time they know permits us so much. So we want to emphasize the prophet tried in the sermon, after he has told us the three processes, to establish to us, giving us scriptures, how that the word pass away. The word, that's the thought that I want to project. Pass away. That the word pass away, as is expressed in the Bible, does not mean that this earth and the heaven will be destroyed. Praise be to God. Within this period, let's pick from paragraph 164, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. The future home. The sermon is, as we have said in the beginning, is talking about the city where the bridegroom, the heavenly bridegroom, who is Christ, is going to live in eternally with his bride. Tada, you know, here on the earth, both the living and the sleeping ones. All right. Now, so the old world framework was not destroyed by the water. The world was only washed off that got its baptism. It was baptized. So will the frame remain, though it be burned by fire. It also destroyed the earth. See? It just destroyed the sin that is on it. Just like it was when a flood came, God told Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with flood. But when God told Noah that he was going to destroy the world, where God told him to make an ark of escape. So the ark he made, the ark definitely will not float in the air. The ark was going to stay somewhere, and God told him to make it, and he put it on the earth. And when the flood came, the flood did all that God intended the flood to do, destroyed every living creature outside of Noah, his wife, his three children, and the wives of the three children. Only these eight people remained on the earth. I mean, yes, in the ark. And after the flood has receded, God told them to come out. And they came out to the earth again, after the earth has been renewed. So the frame remained, but the works, the humans, that allow the devil to influence them to pollute the heart, were destroyed. That was why the prophet told us that God destroys nothing. He said it is man that destroys himself. So that was the first thing God did. When he destroyed the first world, he did not fold everything together and create another one. Amen. So with the frame remaining, though it be burned by fire, it doesn't destroy the earth. See, it just destroys the sin that is on it. Notice here, some of you Bible students, and especially Dr. Vale, looking at me. Notice in Peter, the second chapter, that is one of our anchor scripture that we have read. We read it in the morning. It's because it's very learned. That's why I chose not to read it this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3. There, the prophet picked the word, the world, from it. The world. Rather, they used the word, world, as a Greek word, cosmos. And that word means the world order. The world order. All right, let me just do that so that we can. You can project the second Peter. Bring it there. Chapter 3 there. From verse 6. For this, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The world then, that was the world order, the system of the world, the religion of the world, the economy, the social system, tradition, the economic system, everything that is the world order, God wiped it off. And then Noah began another world. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, that is the one we are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This present earth that we are in is reserved unto fire. And that is what Peter is emphasizing there. Let's read further. It's reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Then move to verse 10. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The world pass away is what the prophet is trying to emphasize. The heaven above is not going to. And the Bible says also in the Revelation chapter 6 that the heaven will pass away like a scroll. As if it's a scroll that is folded, and then the whole thing is done away with. The prophet says, is not saying that this earth and this heaven will be removed completely and God will recreate another one. That what God does is that He's changing this, He's changing it from one stage to another. Right. Second chapter of Peter here, third chapter rather, he uses the word cosmos as a Greek word cosmos, which means the world order. The earth shall pass away, melt the elements with fervent heat. See, it doesn't mean that the earth, the planet, is going to pass away. The heart is a planet. It doesn't mean it's going to power. The whole universe will remain as it is. But in the universe, there is corruption, devils, evil spirits, the prince of Persia that withstood Daniel. Forces, according to Ephesians, it says that the prince of the power of the air, principalities and powers, all these forces that influence human beings. This is what the Bible refers to as the element. The earth shall pass away, met the element to govern it. See, it doesn't mean that the heart, the planet, is going to pass away, but the world, cosmos, the politics, the sinners, the systems, sin, disease, germs, everything that is wrong will pass away. Yes, everything. Well, the prophet didn't complete that one. God won't shook the heavens, but this time he said he will shake the earth. Heavens and earth. He shook the earth, rather. And then this time he will shake the heavens. See, for we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. It is an eternal kingdom. Watch how he goes to it. Notice here, Peter said, and we met with fervent heat, and the works therein burnt up, not the planet, the works. And the prophet narrated the experience of Holy Ghost baptism, the processes that a man goes through when, you know, God is working on him to fill him or her with the Holy Spirit. The prophet said, your frame remains. When you are justified, your frame remains. You are sanctified, your frame remains. And when the Holy Ghost comes in form of fire and he baptized you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the prophet says, you are not changing, your stature doesn't change. You are still the same person. He said, that is the same thing he does to this earth. Yes. Verse 168. Notice here, Peter said, and we met with fervent heat. And the works therein, but all, not the planet, the works therein, the works of man, all the politicians, and their schemes, and all their denominations and man-made schemes will all go with it when it burns. And heaven will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? Heavens will pass away with a great noise. The prophet said, listen, the whole earth will be on fire. And will ignite the gases that are in the earth and explode it. What a horrible period. Well, during this period, we are coming into it. When is it going to take place? This time we are talking about. This is preparation for the first scarcity to come. Immediately after this, the netting is the first scarcity. This is after the white throne judgment. This is an event that will happen after the white throne judgment. We know that what we are expecting now is the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, the world will go into great tribulation for 3.5 years. And after that the which the third world war ends that, and then the millennium comes in. During the millennium is 1,000 years. So that 1,000 years we will be here with Christ on the earth. And the prophet told us what is going to take place. But this event we are talking about is the event, is the cleansing of the entire heart in preparing the heart for God himself to come to this earth to come and dwell eternally. And the prophet said that is the same process it takes the man through. God takes him through those experiences before God comes to come and dwell in him permanently.
Praise be to God.
So, if this program of God is in place and there is nothing any man can do to it to stop it, you cannot pause it and say, wait a bit. Don't let this program continue. Wait, pause it. Let nothing happen for some time. No man can do that. The program of God is running according to the way he has timed it. There's a time God has allotted for grace. And the day, the clock is ticking gradually. The time of grace is gradually going away. The period of grace is reducing as we wake up on daily basis. Day in, day out. And I said the other time, as we celebrate that day, you had another year, the number of our days are reducing. We are getting closer to the grave, if we are to go by the grave. And we are getting closer to rapture, if we are to go by rapture. Yes. So, that's why the Bible says we should number our days and apply our heart to wisdom. To know fully well that, look, as you are aging, there's something happening. As you are aging, you are getting ready to meet your God. That's what it means. And so the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? Heaven will pass away with a great noise. Listen, the whole heart will be on fire. And we ignite the gases that are in the heart and explode. That's exactly. The Bible said here, Peter said, and the heavens will pass away and the heart with a great noise. Such an explosion will rock it. Oh my, because it is God to kill every disease, every tissue, every thorn. Everything there is to be done, the fire will burn it up. And remember, it is not altogether just a literal fire, it is also a holy fire. This will destroy everything that is Satan. This is where everything that is Satan will end. Because God is coming down to the earth to come and live permanently. And where God wants to live, the devil cannot be operating. Because that is the new earth. The new Eden. Where God is coming to live. The repeat of what happened in the Garden of Eden. When there was no disease, when God created the heaven and the earth. No single disease, no sickness, no fear. I was telling my family yesterday evening, in the family altar, I told them, I said, What makes man fear is because of sin. It's because the presence of God is not real to a man. That is why he fears. Then we went back to Genesis to look at when Adam was there all alone on the entire in the entire earth. He had no partner. He was the only one that was on this earth. He will wake up and sleep. Or in the garden, maybe under the tree. He was the only one. No other human being. But the presence of God was so real to, because there was no fear. No sin yet. It was the only human being. Some people cannot stay in a room alone. Everybody's in their rooms. But some people cannot stay in the room alone. Somebody must have to be with them in their room. Let alone, the person remains in the house all alone. All rooms are empty. It's only the person in the house. Some people cannot sleep there. Well, circumstances can make that to happen. It is because of fear that makes a man not. And then why does fear come? It's because where faith. The Bible says that he that feareth is not made perfect in faith. So fear has torment. So the act is going to return back to what it was before sin came in. There was absolute peace. There was absolute tranquility. There was righteousness. Nothing of the devil. Before the devil was cast out to the earth was peaceful. There was no evil, no nothing. Nobody could be influenced. Nobody could be influenced to do what was wrong until Eve came. And then God's program has to continue to run. Praise be to God. Such an explosion will rock it, oh my, because you've got to kill every disease, every tissue, every thumb, everything there is to be done. The fire will burn it up. And remember, it is not altogether a literal fire. It is also a holy fire. God's judgment. God's judgment. Wherever God's fire comes down, is to clean and destroy. The prophet says the same fire that comes upon the believer to destroy the Adamic nature, killing Satan out of the life of that man. That's when the man is born again. See, that will take away Satan and all of his. All the devils, both heaven and earth, amen, will pass away, killing all the germs, all insects, all natural life on it, all around it, even the HO2 water will explode. Think of it. This earth will have an experience, but that experience is preparing the heart to renew it, to make it ready for the bridegroom and the bride to come and dwell here. Paragraph 172. It explodes the H2O, the water. For the Bible said here in Revelation chapter 21, the first verse that we read, it says that there was no more sea. The water will leak all the seas, the Atlantic Ocean. And we are told by science that this earth is about 70% water. The landmass is just 30%. And then you can imagine that you have more material to burn. And it's not going to burn the landmass, because that's the frame. Is going to destroy every germ, every ungod, every human being, devils. And now let's move forward. You see what the prophet says here: the extent of the burning deep down in the heart. This will change the whole surface of the entire heart. She will burst and blow to pieces all the outside, the crust. The crust for hundreds of feet below it. will just simply be completely demolished because the devils that are also there to terminate them. The atmospheres, the gases that are in the heart now, they are finding these missiles that are getting, that can't get through it, a great sphere up in there, way up in some kind of a sphere that there is all kinds of gases, they say. And up here, a lot of gases, dangerous gases up here too, above us. You know, that when those gases mix with certain things, it becomes very poisonous. They say, and burst, and that will burst, the only wrath of God will come upon it. See? And we cleanse it, we change the entire surface. Now, many of you that want to put down this word, the Greek word, pass away. It comes from the word, I had to find it though, how is this word going to pass away? The prophet, the apostle, the prophet. The Bible says this word will pass away. It will fall like a scroll. How is it? Then, as a prophet, he has to go search. You know? I thought, how is this word going to pass away? And yet, we are going to live on it. But if you will notice, some of you people that want to put it down, I will spell it for you. I can't pronounce it. Parerekomia. I don't know how to pronounce it. The prophet said. It's a Greek word. Pass away. Now, that is the way, as I said, when the inspiration strikes me for something, then I go back to find out the word. Now, here I can't tell, I can't spell the word. I can't pronounce it rather. But in that, the Lord has still given me a way. I go and find out what that word means. Then I got it, see? Then I got it again. See, that is why I said initially, it's only the star messenger that can do what he has done. No fivefold can do it. It will be leaning on his own understanding. And anyone that has revelation will never keep behind him. You will leave him with his own opinion. It takes the messenger of the age to go and bring all that is written in riddles. That are written, coded in the scripture, is given the key to unlock it. Because the day that is living in is to fulfill scriptures. In the days of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Nothing is left for anybody to come and be the one to continue nothing. After all, seven church ages and only one angel messenger is promised to each age. Praise be to God. All right. I can't spell the word. Yeah. God speak, I go and find out what that word means. Then I got it. Then I got it again. See? Everything now will pass away. Now, this word means passing from one form to another. Passing from one form to another. The word pererekomia. That's what it means. Of course, that might be very difficult for somebody to pronounce too. You know? Pass away from one form. Passing from one form to another. It doesn't mean annihilation. In other words, God is not annihilating the earth and then creating another one. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. It is the new system that God is bringing into it that is new. That's why the Bible says, the man being in Christ is what? It's a new creation. It becomes a new creation. Then the earth becomes a new earth. After it's been renovated by God's process
And then it becomes a fitting place for the Almighty God to come and dwell. And that's why the prophet said that God cannot put himself, his Holy Spirit, in a dirty vessel. So if he will not put it in a human being that is dirty, that is not yet in the state where God can come and abide in the person's soul, he won't do the same thing on the earth. So it's taking the earth through a process. So, it does not mean annihilation, as the Hindus word would mean pass away. It is, pass away means annihilated. But the Hebrew word or the Greek word here does not mean, it doesn't, the pass away here doesn't mean is annihilated. It means passing from one thing to another. To pass from one condition, he says, to another. From one condition to another. Now, Brapo use that same word. If you want to read it now, put it down. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul used it too. Let us read it. It's that Titus. All right, 3 verse 5. Not by words of... Well, let's read it from verse 4. So that we... But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration. Not washing of water. Not water baptism, I mean to say. That washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration, the prophet used the word here. He says, Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of man. That man has passed from a sinner to a saint. He has passed from a sinner to a saint, not completely annihilated. The man. You see, when a man is changed, he isn't annihilated, but he is a changed man. He's still the same frame. Maybe he's fat, he remains fat. If he's slim, he might remain slim. If he's tall, his height will not reduce. If he's short, he's not going to go and look for some height and add to his feet to make him to be taller so that people will know that now I'm born again. No. The frame remains. But it is the surgical, spiritual surgical operation that God does in the soul of that man. The eyes I cannot see. No, the prophet preaches someone entitled the invisible union. The invisible union of the earthly bridegroom, heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Just like we are talking about the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. The invisible union. The union is an invisible one that is going on, and that is by the spiritual surgical operation. By way of God, after the man has repented of his or her sin genuinely, and God confirming the same, and then sanctifying the person, coming to fill the person with the Holy Spirit. Then the person is invisibly united with Christ. So when a man is invisibly united with Christ, and these people that are invisibly united with Christ are the ones that this first class city we are talking about, we dwell in. That's where they will dwell. He has been changed from what he was, but he is a changed person. He has been changed from what he was to what he is, not annihilated. Jesus used the same word in Matthew 19:28. Let's have Matthew 19:28. You will see. Matthew 28:19 rather. Yeah, that should be 19:28. Because 28 is a go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, it should be 19:28. Give us the scripture there. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of... See, the prophet is interpreting the pass away. He's interpreting the passing away of the earth, the passing away of the heavens. That the passing away is not that the earth will fold away completely and that we will not see heaven anymore. It's not that this earth will completely be destroyed and it will fold and there's no... Everything will become a vacuum. No. So that's the explanation the prophet is giving. He's using the process of man's regeneration to explain that to us. And there are other proofs that he has presented. Jesus used the same word in Matthew. So, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration where the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In the regeneration. That is the what the prophet is trying to emphasize there. You see, you will sit with me in my Father's kingdom, regenerated. You see, changed. Changed. The prophet said that same word there is the same thing that Paul also used. Pass away is the same word pererekomia that is used in several places in the scripture. I remember the prophet said that he had to search for it by divine inspiration to get this. You see, change. When you are changed, he used the same word. He used the same word when he said to the coat, said, lose the coat and let him go. He said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Lose him. Change him. He's been tied. Let him go. Hallelujah. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It will be loosed. It will be loosed from politics. It will be loosed from denominational religious system, the World Council of Churches, one world economy. All of them will be forgotten. It will be loosed from denominational religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God, to be established in here on the earth. But as long as it is in the hands of Satan, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belongs to him, but now Christ has redeemed it. When we say that the devil controls this earth, he owns this earth, some people will say what? Same God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, the devil by deceit got it back from Adam. They got it. Sin denominated. If you understood the sermon, Satan's Eden, then you will know very well. And the prophet said the same time that God has had, you know, to create the heart, the first Eden, the devil also had the same time to have his own Eden. And we are in Satan's Eden now. It is the Eden of Satan where you see homosexualism. It is in his Eden that you see unrighteousness, you see stealing, you see killing, you see murder, you see kidnapping, you see raping, politics, you see religion. People are so religious, but they don't know God. It is his Eden. That's where you see women wearing trousers that they are happy about it. That's why they paint their lips and their pastor tell them that it's the blood of Jesus Christ. When you use it, tell them. No, that's what they tell them. Tell them it's the blood of Jesus. How human being can be so deceived? No wonder the Bible says, being deceived and deceiving others. It is someone that has been deceived that can deceive others. Yeah. Somebody who knows the truth, you cannot give what you don't have. It's when you know the truth, you will tell people the truth. If the truth has affected your life positively, you want the other people too that they wanted to be free by the truth that has set you free. But somebody that has been deceived, he wants to deceive. The person that has deceived him wants to use him as an agent to continue to propagate deceit. I've been ordained for the same. One time I was his property, but not now. One time, that little woman was his property, but not now. See, he came to lose the grip of it. He lose the grip of sin, of Satan, upon my life.
upon your life, and now we are not his.
You see, the grip of sin, you must be free from the grip of sin. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what's the works of the devil? Sin, iniquity, unrighteousness. That's Satan's works. And that is why Jesus came. And the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In doing that, he had to destroy the works of the devil.
By what process?
By the way it is written that he is going to go about. He did not carry weapon, he did not carry gun, he did not carry sword. By love, he conquered the world. He defeated the enemy by love for mankind. By way of his death, and by way of his resurrection, and then ascension, then descending in the form of the Holy Spirit, to empower his people to complete the destruction of the work of the devil in their lives. Make perfect atonement. After making perfect atonement, by that blood he cleanses and sanctifies us. And that spirit, after descending on the Pentecost, came upon his people to give them himself, to give them the power to overcome flesh, to overcome Satan, to overcome sin and the world. Three, four domains of victory of a Christian. You must overcome yourself, flesh. Just like Rossan was preaching in the morning, you must overcome yourself. You must identify, like we said on Wednesday, you must have discernment of yourself. Discernment. What is my problem? What are the buts in my life? What are the gray areas? Do I have victory here? Do I have victory here? What goes on between me and my wife at home? Do we fight? Do I fight my wife? Do my wife fight me? What was come from my mouth to my wife? What was come from my wife to me? You must have discernment. See, in a home, between husband and wife, like we have in the series of Sunday school that we have, the marriage from God's perspective. The mind of God for having a man and a woman is to be a type of Christ and the bride. And I want to say with all appreciation to God that is the first revelation that I got from the message when I was still outside there, when the sermon books were given, I was still in the domination, still preaching. But when I read the sermons, I noticed it was marriage I was seeing. When I read the sermon, I was only seeing marriage. And so, by his grace, I was able to understand that a man and a woman, they are to live a life that Christ and the bride live, so that they can project God to the people of the world. And that is, you know, the message of the hour is marriage. It's marriage. It is marriage. That is why it's so important. We're talking about the invisible union just now, isn't it? Yes.
It's the marriage between Christ and me.
Marriage between Christ and you. And Christ is the world.
And so is the marriage between you and this world, the revealed world, the message of the hour. Is marriage between you and that Christ. So is you getting married to Christ. That's the message of the hour.
And that must be accomplished in your life. Because what the message is doing is to get you to know Christ.
Just like Eliezer went to talk to Rebecca and discuss about Isaac to Rebecca. My master is this, my master is this. That is what William Branham has done to us. Bring the message of of Isaac, who is Jesus Christ. Everything is marriage. And you have to see it that way. So the message is to get you married to be our Isaac. Our Isaac is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message has told us the capacity of Christ. He has told us what he is interested in, what he is able to do, what he has promised, the glory of Christ. The message has told us. Just like Eliezer told Rebecca about Isaac, is the son of his master. It's the same thing. So the message is to get you to know who your Isaac is, who is Christ, and so that you fall in love with him. And then you will say, and they will tell you, do you want to give your life to Christ? Like the Hasker, do you want to follow this man to go and meet Isaac that you have never seen? He said, I will go. And it's by revelation that we do that. So the question I want to ask is, are you married to Christ? And that marriage is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So until a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not married to Christ yet. When we say married to Christ, we have witnessed an engagement, a couple that have just been engaged in our midst. They have gone through courtship. They have gone through exchange of vow, which is engagement. The other one they will do after that is traditional wedding. Then the coming to the church is the blessing. As she is like this, Bro Joseph is her husband. She's married to Bro Joseph. There is a ring in her hand. And that's the Holy Spirit. So anybody who sees her now knows that she has a head. Though they cannot live together now, because they are not yet permitted to do that. If they decide they want to live together tomorrow, they will do that journey a few hours before that time. Then the word of God gives them license. But until then, they cannot. So she's engaged to, she's married to Joseph by that vow. And then the token is that this ring. So that anyone who sees her will know that this person is already having somebody that is, that has talked to her and she has agreed to marry. That's how we are also married to Christ by Holy Ghost baptism. We don't get married to Christ only by our mouth of confession. We don't get married to Christ as justification. We are only responding to him. We are believing unto him. We don't get married to Christ at sanctification. We are believing unto. We only get married to Christ when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is then we are believing in him. That's why we cannot divorce him. That's when we cannot do otherwise. That's when another man cannot say, look at us, and then we fall for him. It's not possible. Because he has come to put a portion of him in us, and then we are his. Praise be to God. Oh, merciful God. Yeah. One time I was his property, but not now. Let me just conclude by reading this so that we can pray. One time I was his property, but not now. One time that little woman was his property, but not now. See, he come to lose the grip of it. He loosed the grip of sin, of Satan upon my life, upon your life, and now we are no longer Satans. May the Lord be our God. Let's bow down our heads. I want you to talk to God. This little broken words. Let's think on this. What God wants to accomplish is to give us testimony.
of an experience, a changed life, a changed life, not a life that is presumably changed, a life that is truly changed. Because a life that is changed is life that is that has experienced the power of transformation of God. Are you in union with Christ? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 or verse 15, he said, "He that loves the world and the things of the world, said the love of the Father is not in him." He said, "The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are of the world." He said, "The world passes away, and the lust thereof. And he that loves the world will pass away with the world. But he that has been changed will escape this." All the things that we are talking about, definitely believers will not be here. We will be where God has prepared to keep us after the great tribulation. And his wrath is poured upon the earth to change it, to baptize it with his fire, with his wrath, destroying every devil, Satan and the devils, every contamination, every disease, every evil. God is preparing that place for you and me. Will you ask God to give you more grace? That God will help you to prepare the more. To have discernment of yourself, to be able to do what is necessary. While I hand over to the associates.
Let's bring this service to a close. Pray that this will not be a theory to anyone. The word of God is talking about what God did and what is to do to this earth, and then what is to do to individuals to make them fit to be able to enter into the first quarter city, the New Jerusalem, that is to descend from God out of heaven is a bride adorned for her husband. The occupants of that place, the citizens of the place, have been prepared through God's word. We would like to be there. If there is someone that would like to be remembered in prayer, will you lift up your hand as we offer this prayer unto God? Gracious eternal Father, we thank you very much for the privilege we have in our generation to know the things that were not known in the ages that have gone by. As you gave these glorious revelations to your servant the prophet, he has delivered the same unto us, and by your divine plan and wisdom, you told him to store them there because we will have need of them. We thank you because when we hear them, it does something to us. Lord, there is a proof that it is we that it is meant for. Because music to our souls is truly preparing us, Lord, as delegates for that place. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we look up unto you this afternoon, so evening, with hands that are up, having needs and desires behind them, I pray, dear God of heaven, that none of us will hear this as a story, but it will be with a revelation that, Lord, we are part of those that you are walking upon. And Lord, when the time will finally come that you materialize those that you have transformed, Lord, we physically be in this first square city. May none of us be left behind. Lord, it's our prayer and our desire that you remember our loved ones who have not come to know this truth, Heavenly Father. Be gracious unto every one of us. Help us, Lord. The word does come to us in its simplest form so that the most unchurched person can be able to understand. May none of us be dull of hearing, Lord. Give us divine revelation. May these words never pass over our head. May your spirit divinely establish and expatiate them in our hearts, that may accomplish your divine will and purpose in the life of every one of us. Thank you, Eternal Father. May our needs and requests be granted to the glory of your name. Your servant, you have made yourself again this afternoon. Virtue has left him. We pray you will bless and replenish him and lift up the honor of his ministry. Thank you, Eternal Father. As we dismiss, may your grace go with us. Those that are traveling, Lord, this evening, may you take them home safely. Those of us within the city, take us home safely. Give us a wonderful week, O God. Watch over students. Lord, we are hearing of strike again. Lord, for the university students, those public workers, we pray that you will intervene, dear Father, in the affairs of this country for the sake of your children. Have your way, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. The service of the week, may they draw us closer unto you. We pray that you be with business people and prosper them. Lord, establish your people, O God, and rebuke the warriors for their sake. Lord, we ask that you be with workers also and bless them likewise. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting our petitions, because we have asked them with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. We thank the Lord that has brought us to the close of today's services, because people are going to different locations. The innocents, they just decided to wait for this afternoon service because they said that since we said we are closing for that, back here like this, they will take it and from there go to Abeokuta. I'm sure by the time they are there, the people also going to the other end of the town, they should also be around that place. God bless you all. Yeah. I think it's your blessing. Shall we rise and sing 107 as we dismiss? That's a country that is far beyond the starry sky. If we are faithful, shall go there by and by. There is a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, there is a city where there never comes a night. Oh, if you are faithful, we shall go there by and by. By and by is a city where the Lamb. Hallelujah. In a city where the Lamb.
Jesus.